So a lot of people ask me all the time, how is it that you do what you do being in your 40s? Well, it's a lot of hard work, but honestly, I got a lot of help. I've been going to Triple Threat Performance for my physical therapy needs for a few years now. I keep tearing this body down and they keep putting me back together again. And just recently, I joined their strength and conditioning program. And really, honestly, I don't think the mountains stand the chance this year. I feel stronger. I feel more flexible. I feel like I could go longer than I've ever had before in the past. So if you are in the Phoenix area and this sounds like something you might need or you want to up your game, check out Triple Threat Performance. That's ttpaz.com. ttpaz.com. Hey, I also want to give props to the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. You heard me say it a million times. They're a game changer. And I'm not just saying it's not just lip service. They really are. They do what they're intended to do. And that is make a guy, woolly mammoth like myself, sound like a cat coming through the woods. And really just they're game changers. I think everybody should own a pair. It should be in your arsenal of weapons. And there is no other comparison out there. They're easy to put on, lightweight, easy to carry around with you. Don't take up a whole lot of weight and room in your backpack. It's almost foolish not to own a pair. So go check them out, Sneak Tech Sneak Boot.
Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot and Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we're doing a little campfire session, a little storytelling session with Justin Davis from Bonescope. And yeah, man, we're going to get into some of his adventures. What's going on?
Oh, not a lot, man. Just roasting right now, and they'll be drowning by rain by this afternoon. But
yeah,
probably not near as hot as down where you're at.
God, man, it's been miserable. We got hammered yesterday, though, on with the monsoons. And, I mean, my backyard was flooded for a couple of hours before it drained off. It was pretty intense.
That's true, but that just needs antler growth, right?
Yeah, if it could keep on coming. I don't know if one rain is going to do it. It's supposed to keep on raining for the rest of the week here, on and off a little bit. I know they got a little bit more rain up in the high country, but down in the desert it's been freaking miserable. It's been a miserable year. We didn't get any rain in the winter that we know
uh-huh.
We do. We used to get rains in December and stuff like that, and it was dry. Yeah,
that's the same thing up here. Our snowpack was probably one of the lowest I've ever seen. I've been waiting for wildfires to take over the entire state, but we've been fairly lucky right now, and, hopefully the rain will continue.
Yeah, same here. I was saying to myself, we're going to have a crazy fire season. So far, hasn't been too bad. A couple small ones, but nothing gigantic. So, nothing like California and Colorado's experiencing right now.
That's very true.
So, yeah, man, so I got you on to, share some of your stories with us. Before we jump into that, let's give me a little rundown about yourself and what you do and whatnot. So those who don't know your name will probably associate you after that.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm a small-town guy I grew up, and sports and hunting was everything to me, but sports was quite a bit, higher up on my bucket list of succeeding in life than hunting. And I had a kind of a drastic injury pre-high school in eighth grade that kind of just put an end to all my sports playing. The doctors wouldn't sign off on me successfully to play due to a compound fractured leg on the growth plate. So kind of started working and hunting pretty much as much as I could, because it was really the only thing I had left in life at that point, I felt. And little did I know now, looking back, it was probably one of the best blessings in disguise that I could have ever received. But at the time, I was I was mad. Young kid, Yeah, wanted to play sports, that's all I wanted to do, and so it kind of pushed me in the direction of where I'm at now. And so I still love to hunt, and I still love to work on work companies. I love it. Just it's just fun to me. It's just a challenge. It's something that I've always enjoyed doing, and I've failed many, many times, and succeeded very, very few times. But it's all the past failed attempts that's kind of helped me understand the direction that I needed to go and how to make something successful is by, in my opinion, failing multiple times and finally figuring out, oh, I can do it this way or this way or this way. And so it's kind of who I am. I'm just a small town guy. Nobody special, just an average Joe that's probably a little redneck as they come.
Yeah, man, but you've made some marks in the hunting industry for sure. Obviously, with your PhoneScope product, it's kind of like a household name, so to speak, and it's kind of like the Kleenex when people want to use tissues, they say, "Can I have a Kleenex?" And when people want to use a digiscoping adapter, they say, "I want to use a PhoneScope." And
You nailed that on the head. That's kind of our whole goal from the beginning was, let's build a brand and build great products around the brand, but let's build a brand. And that was kind of something that I never really understood back in the day. I just wanted to sell the products for the cheapest and sell as many as I could, but I never really understand or grasped the whole Kleenex mentality. I read a story on the branding of Kleenex, and you nailed it on the head. That's exactly it. And so something I was too maybe stubborn or hard-headed, or maybe I just didn't see the clear picture back in the day, but that was one thing that, yeah, we wanted to really try to do is build a brand that's surrounded by a bunch of family and friends. I mean, I've said it many times, I'll say it many more. We look at all of our customers as friends. I mean, we got a ton of friends that I talk to on a daily basis that use the products, that love them, that are sending us pictures, and they're the ones that's telling us how to continue to innovate and how to fix our products we have now. Constructive criticism. I'll jump onto that real quick. That's one thing I had to learn how to take too, because man, when you get told
It's
what you're
tough.
doing wrong in life, it's really tough. But once you learn how to take that and learn from it, I feel I've grown as a human being 100 times because I found out the negative parts of me, the good parts of me, and how to really blend everything together. So,
Yeah, no, that's
yeah.
huge. My cousins are always giving me constructive criticism on the podcast. Some of which I take, others some of it I don't. But
Yeah,
I
you're
kid.
like, oh, that's great. I appreciate it, but it's my podcast, right? I've
Yeah,
said that plenty of times in my life, not with podcasts, but with other ideas. And bless my dad's heart, it usually comes down to me and him, and we're so much alike that I like to win and he likes to win. So it's usually a knockout, drag out brawl sometimes with him and I. But at the end of the day, I'd be nowhere without him and love him to death. So.
that's huge. Yeah, I picked up a new PhoneScope for my iPhone X, and I got a little personalized note in there from Tim. I was like, "Oh, you
Oh,
guys do?"
we
Thank
try
you
to
so much
send
for the.
out. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say thank you so much for the order. I'm humbled that you joined the phone team PhoneScope. Capture more. Cheers, Tim. I don't know if that was your if that was a thing that you do for everybody, or I was actually a little special right there.
It's something that we did at the very beginning, and I'll kind of touch on that before we get into me telling lies and stories about my hunting past. But it was something that I always learned is people love to buy from people, and so I've always tried to be somebody's friend. You walk around town like you want to be mayor one day, shake everybody's hand, tell everybody hi. The world's it's too short to not have a happy smile on your face at all times, and try to make friendships all around. You hear the saying, people always say, I'm not here to make friends, and I'm 100% opposite, because I love to just talk. I mean, you're probably going to tell me to shut up and we need to move on, or the podcast is over, because I just love to talk and just get to know people, and it's a great feeling.
No,
So
that's a good way to be,
that
man.
can, yeah, well, I think so, but then again, I'm wrong, so if somebody thinks I'm wrong, shoot me an email and maybe I'll learn from it, maybe I won't be. But no, that's kind of who I am. I try to be a very positive person. I love to see people win. I love to see people succeed. Unless, you know, we're competing head on head, I'd still love to see that person win, but I'll make sure I win because I love winning too, you know?
Right.
But back in the beginning, I was sending personal letters and taking personal phone. I was taking all the orders on my cell phone. This was, you know, 5, 6 years ago. I was sending out little letters of thanks so much, I appreciate it. Anything you can do, here's my cell phone. Get back to me. And we kind of, you know, we got really busy and things started getting fast paced and we got away from it. It was driving me nuts because I knew it was something that's what I wanted. It doesn't matter if it was helping us succeed or not. That was just something that Chest and Davis enjoyed doing. Well, it's hard for me to be able to fill out enough postcards to send to everybody that buys an order from us.
Of course.
But I've got an awesome team. So we started recently again sending out postcards, and I've told the orders department, don't ship an order unless we get a postcard in there. Now, I'm sure they still are shipping some that don't have postcards in them, but at the end of the day, I just want to send that friendly, hey, we really appreciate you. You know, we would not be
right
where we're at today if it wasn't for you. There's something we can do, let us know. And hey, here's a little spiff for next time you order something. We want to include you under the family. And
yeah,
so that was just kind of, you know, something that I started back in the day because, frank and honest, I really had no money to start the company. I took what I could from my dad, and I've been credited a few times of utilizing social media before it was cool to advertise with, and I was by far no child seen into the future because if I did, I would have started a marketing company back then. I just had no other options. I was contacting everybody I knew in the industry. Hey, I need some help. Can you use this and post pictures? That's all I had. I didn't have a marketing budget. I didn't have none of that. And so all said and done, I try to be a friendly guy. Sometimes people catch me at a wrong point. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not very friendly, but I love nothing more than just having a good time. I was on the mountain last year, and I had an archery tag, and I was driving down the road, and I seen this kid putting stock on a deer, and he pulls his phone out, and he was calling somebody, and I could see a phone scope on his case. I was like, that's a good dude right there. So I went down and found his spotter, and me and one of my buddies sat there and helped him walk this kid in on this deer. And the guy's like, man, you could have went over and blew that deer out and tried to kill it. And I says, no, man, you're part of the family. We got your back. I love nothing more than going places and having people come up and introduce themselves. And I'll be like, hey, what's up? And we start showing pictures and video. And, you know, it relates kind of back to when we started the company. My grandpa was still around, and he would tell me stories, John, of like these giant bucks back in the day. They could kill two a year. They could do this. They could do that. And there was giant deer everywhere. And it's something that I will never be able to understand or comprehend because I only have that visual graphic that I've painted in my brain. But with the phone scope, it's letting people capture memories now and share them for generations and generations to come. And there's something about that that to me, the money is irrelevant. It's memories like that of me being able to help people post and just pass on their memories that I wish I could be able to relate to.
That's huge.
That's kind of at the end of the day, what really all said and done, don't get me wrong. It's all about making a living and everybody's got to be able to support and live. But I ran two jobs in order to kind of fund this because it was a passion of mine. There was something in it at the end result that I really wanted to see fulfilled, if that makes sense. So
at the
end of the day, I mean, I probably cut myself down. Everybody knows I'm a tender-hearted dude or whatnot, but I just love being able to let people interact and share memories and stuff that I can never be able to understand between my dad and grandpa and be able to – I mean, it's just something about knowing that my grandkids that I will never get to know here in two or three generations will still be able to – see the footage and the deer and, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's something really cool. And that's something that we really take pride in here is being able to accommodate everybody and make sure that we're offering a product that is simple, fast, effective, lightweight, all the above. So with all that aside, I'm ready to start telling some lies if you want to move
all
on.
All right, man.
Or if you got other questions, you let me know.
Yeah, why don't you share with us your, I don't know, your most outrageous or your most memorable hunt?
I'll probably start with my most memorable hunt, hands down, was I was lucky, coveted kid. At 16 years old, I drew a beaver Utah elk tag, and it was probably one of
Oh,
the
wow.
best units in the state at that time. I drew, I think I had 2 points because I started putting in when I was 14, so I had 2 or 3 points, and I just
Unreal.
flat got lucky. You know what I mean? And
Yep.
my mom drew an early tag that year too, so we hunted with her. It was a great experience. And it came down to my hunt. And the bull that I was looking to kill that I sat and watched and lived on ended up getting harvest, and it ended up going like 420 something.
Oof.
I was just wrong place, wrong time. And so I moved on to my number two bull, and he was right around 400, and I ended up killing him. I mean, me and my dad together hunted our butts off. My mom's dad, my grandpa, he ended up passing away during the hunt, so I had to take a day
Oh.
away and attend the funeral and kind of do all that. But all said and done, I being a bow hunter that I was back then, I didn't have a range finder that went out very far. I wasn't used to shooting a gun. I was used to shooting a bow, and I was used to shooting at 40, 50 yards max back then. So I was hunting with a rifle, and I ended up getting a shot at this bull and straight missed him. And I was just looking at it, and me and my dad are like, "Oh man, that's got to be 300, 400 yards." Well, we went back in with a buddy's range finder, and it was like 500 yards or something outrageous for back in the day. And there's no wonder I missed him by 10 miles. We didn't even see where the bullet hit. And so my dad and buddies and stuff are like, "Hey, we really should move on to a different bull." And I was like, "Nope." I was like, "That's the bull for me. I'll be able to draw another tag. We don't have any other bulls that are really big up there." So we kept hunting him and hunting him, and I think we killed him the second to the last day. And it was just one of those memories that I learned at a young age. If you put in X amount of time, you're going to get X amount out. And
Right.
hunting is very important like that. It's all about drawing a tag and putting your time in on that hunt, that specific hunt. And it's something that I miss nowadays because it seems, for some reason now that I can put in for 10 different states, I'll get lucky and pull 3 tags. And it doesn't go back to what it was back when your whole world was centered around drawing one tag, and all I
Correct.
did was eat, dream, and sleep the same 50-mile radius area. You know what I mean? It was just looking back, that was a big turning point in my life, being able to harvest an animal that big at such a young age. I'll say it straight up, it really gave me the addiction to hunt and to be able to put the time and energy in. And so it was, I look at that as one of the big turning points. For me. And there's another similar experience where my dad and I are hunting up on our local mountain here, and that was kind of where PhoneScope came around. And it wasn't much long after my elk hunt, but it's father and son doing things in the outdoors that we were meant to do, and the memories that we'll be able to have. It's all about the memories. There's years I go without killing an animal. There's years I go and I kill a ton of animals. It's about getting out and having a good time, meeting new friends and trying new places. And I don't know, I'm kind of a sucker for just having a good time and a good experience. And harvesting a big bull or a big buck's totally a bonus on top of that.
No, that's a good way to be, man. A lot of people lose, and more so. And I think, I mean, it's kind of a sign of the times, but more so, I think, because of social media,
Agreed. No.
it's kind of made people, and for guys like you that are, making it possible for everybody to post their stuff
Yeah.
by being able to take video and pictures, it's kind of it's a double-edged sword,
It's very true. People can do a lot of scouting looking on social media because of our product, but it's
Yeah.
also allowing a person that will never be able to draw an Arizona strip tag to be able to go down and quote unquote hunt deer with their spotting scope and the phone
Yep.
scope and be able to capture those memories and be
Yep.
able to go home and feel as successful as they would have if they would have drew the tag and then not kill the deer or kill the deer. You know what I mean? It's letting people be able to get out and enjoy
For
one of
sure.
God's greatest creations.
Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says Become a Patron. Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, Become a Patron, from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only. I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again, that even a dollar a month, pledging a dollar a month, $12 a year, may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I'd appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode.
For sure. I love the fact that I can, like you were touching on this earlier before you told us the first story, that there's going to be like a legacy left for my kids to go back and look at and say, you know, because it's not just the videos that I take of the animals, you know, I have all these like films that I've done and
yeah,
whatever. And my kids can go back and go, yeah, that's my dad right there. You know, or
yeah,
hey, that's your grandpa right there. You know?
Yeah. I mean, how cool is it to be able to just know that when you leave, you're leaving, like you said, an entire video documented legacy of this is who I am. This is how crazy mm-hmm. I was. This is how dedicated I was. I'm surprised your grandma stayed with him, or do you know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Stuff like that. It's just, it's so funny. I look at it and I just laugh because I don't know. I just cheese up, man. Just get that nice warm sensation feeling of like, this is cool. Like this is what it's about.
Yeah, for so. Sure. a lot of that gets lost today.
It's true. Yeah. I need to come out and say I got stuck in that social media phase where, you know, I was like, okay, I'm filming for this TV show this year. I've got to kill this deer. There was a year and a half where I did that, and honestly, it took the fun out of it. It put the job mm-hmm. in it instead of just going and having a good time. And, oh, man, I didn't see a good caliber mature buck. I tag-souped it. And everybody like, oh, you're kidding, what? You didn't spend enough time, didn't do enough homework? Obviously, I didn't know. I failed. But you know what? I learned at it. And that could probably lead me into one of my greatest hunts I've ever had that I did not harvest at, is a hunt that I learned a lot about myself and about elk in general. You know what I mean? Like, I put so much time in. If you're good, I'll kind of jump into.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more of like an important hunting lesson, you know what I mean? Kind of something that I really learned.
That's actually what I was going to ask you to share with us, something that you learned. Those are my favorite ones.
Well, this is one that I, at the time, I looked at it very as a very failed attempt because I could have really killed a couple good bulls, but I was able to get a tag on the Dutton here in Utah. It's a great elk unit, right? Very rugged. Yep. I hunted my butt off. I think I lost like 30 pounds that within that 45, 50 day span because of just running trail cameras and chasing bugles and all that. But we had a TV production crew coming in from Florida, JBO Productions, to film it for a TV show. And so I was overly committed right there. I like, man, I got to really dial this in and make sure I kill something giant. The pressure was on. My hair's falling out. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm going crazy coming up to the hunt because I've got some great bulls, and the hunt was earlier that year than ever. And
mm-hmm.
what happens to bulls when they start shedding their velvet? Dude,
they
just
disappear.
Yeah. Like, I was sick to my stomach. I got this guy flying in, and I can't find any of my top three bulls. I don't know where they went. So I'm literally running I'm just running the mountain, just nonstop. Somebody's dropping me off over here and picking me up 3 miles down or whatnot. And I'm just trying to cut some track, some sign, and I learned quite a bit about patience that year, because if I would have just calmed down and patiently started observing what was going on, I would have been able to find them. You know, I'm going past tree rubs trying to see where the elk are. And I'm just, if I would have just taken my time, I could have done quite a bit better. But through that whole learning experience, I was on that rock for probably 50 days. I learned so much about myself, and plenty of the flaws that I had, my impatience, just a lot of give it time. I have 30 days to hunt, you know, everything's going to come around. But I let social media and TV and all this type of quote-unquote fame kind of get in my way of what I was there for. I wasn't smiling. I wasn't having fun. You know, we were going to bed at 11 o'clock at night, getting up at 3:30 in the morning. I look back and I see all my friends that came and hunted with me, that, you know, I had some drive down from Salt Lake. I had coworkers that come over. My dad, he took a bunch of time off from his job. I had a bunch of other friends that are my dad's friends that took time off and came over and hunted with me. My father-in-law, all these people that, even though I was kind of in a negative state, they had my back.
Right.
That's the people we stick with. So,
for sure.
Learning about myself, learning about, you know, your true friends, everybody will call them. At the end of the day, it's people crazy enough like you that want to hunt out a tag with somebody else because they love just being in the outdoors. That time I spent on the rock, I learned more about myself, about the animals, about everything. And at the time, I looked at it as a failed attempt. But I look back now, and it created me as a better person and a better hunter. And that's stuff that we can't ignore. We got to see the good in everything, you know?
For sure. Yeah, that's a win, man. That's a trophy in itself right there.
It's true. No, that's exactly yeah. it. And
if
I lost
you
went
pounds, out there. And, there you go. People spend thousands and thousands of dollars to do that.
That's exactly it. But no, I mean, all in all, it's a great experience. I still look back at it. I'm like, dude, that was awesome. I had a very similar experience down in the Gila in New Mexico. We just weren't finding the big bulls, and we just kept going day in and day out. We spent 15 days down there with no cell phone service, and I can make somebody that's addicted to their phone, you know, kind of go crazy. But at the same sense, I tried to look for the good in it, and that was one of the better hunts I've had. And I didn't kill nothing either down there, but I was able to understand that I didn't have to kill something. I was down there to have a good time. I took down a couple of really good friends, met up with a few outfitters that are really good friends of mine, and hung out. I mean, it was, you know, it was because of that bad experience on the Dutton, and it was able to open my views on my future hunts. So,
yeah, I tell people all the time, like, especially if they're trying to get into bow hunting or converting from rifle hunting to bow hunting, especially, I'm like, you know, if you're in it just for the kill, you're going to go home disappointed way, way, way more times than you're going to go home feeling like, you know, you accomplished something.
Yeah.
Because you got to be in it for everything, the whole experience. I went through that similar thing that you were saying with the TV show. Like, so I had a TV show from 2004 to 2016. And, you know, mind you, it was most of those years were on the web only. But I went through a stint there early on where I'd go hunting and, you know, if it wasn't a Pope and Young animal, I wasn't going to shoot it. And I put all this pressure on me, like, to keep up with Joneses. I would watch other TV shows and seeing, you know, Stan Potts shoot a freaking 200-inch whitetail out of the tree and this and that. Yeah, it's like, I looked at all this stuff, and I was always like, and I started hating it. So, like, luckily, I kind of realized it, and I was like, you know what, man, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to shoot whatever makes me happy, or if I don't shoot something, I'm going to just enjoy experience, whatever, you know, and I just stopped putting that pressure on myself. And first off, my success rate went through the freaking roof after that, because I wasn't I wasn't focused on what I wasn't getting. I was just focused on what I was getting, you know, like what I was experiencing. And I started feeling more fulfilled, you know, like it wasn't about just making, you know, making
Yeah,
content with a grip and
kill big
grin phone.
animals.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
but that too became, you know, is a little double-edged sword now too, because now I'm like, I have the museum of the medium inside my house. I don't ever kill anything giant, and it's because I'm content, you know, when I go out
Yeah.
there. But I'm trying to change that up a little bit, not because I want to put pressure on myself, but I feel like I want to just shoot bigger stuff. But
No, that's I'm totally with you. I love
just
to
a
kill big
goal, just a
stuff.
goal now, and not pressure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to go
Yeah.
out and kill something now. You're out there because you want to be out there,
Right.
and I'm with you 100%. It's double-edged sword. You nailed it on the head right there.
Yeah. So cool. So if you got another one, you got another cool little story, go ahead and share it with us.
Let's
You got
see,
time.
man. I've got time. I'm trying to think. I'm fortunate enough to have some pretty good hunting
Yeah, shit. I mean, you
memories.
drew two of the best units in Utah for elk
Yeah, no, that's
in a shorter time than the point creep is, or max point pool is. So
yeah,
I'd
us
say you.
residents have a little bit of a bonus on that side, but non-residents are awesome because, dude, you guys can put in for every lifetime species, even though it's so bottlenecked that it's, well, give Colorado, they'll know exactly what we're talking about here in 5, 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I go to Colorado every year usually and hunt with my extended family, I call them. Some of my really, really good friends, and we have a great time out there because we just get a. It's fun. I mean, it's not about killing anything giant. I guess you're really good friends with Willie Schmidt. Willie was
Yeah.
there the last few times, and I will say on record right now, Willie did screw up and he could have killed a giant buck, but I think he got buck fever. He'll never admit that. I think he got buck fever.
Have to give him shit about that.
Oh, you definitely need to, 'cause he'll be like, "Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about."
That's funny.
Good old Willie's a good dude. But
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, it's memories like that. I love hunting with my family. This past year, I was out in Nevada with Trevor Marks with Bull Ridge, and those guys have been friends of mine for 15, 20 years. So I love kind of just doing a few things with them. And I was lucky enough to draw a tag out there, and we're hunting in one of the tougher units to hunt deer in, and we find this big buck. I mean, definitely bigger than anything else we've seen in the unit, at least recently, you know. And I was like, "Trev, that's a long ways away." And he's like, "Oh yeah, we can get in there no problem." I'm like, "Cool." So the next morning, we leave at 4:30 in the morning, and we hike straight up Mount Everest, and we're up pretty high. And I was like, "Dude, you should have told me I should have brought a lunch with me." And he starts laughing.
Please.
He finds the buck within an instant, and we're looking clear across two giant canyons. And he's like, "Dude," he's like, "that buck's definitely well over 30 inches." I was like, "Yeah, for sure." I was like, "How are we gonna get there?" He's like, "Oh, it won't be any problem at all. We'll just go down this canyon, up and over, and we'll get in position and whack him." I was like, "You make that sound too easy." And we started laughing, and without even thinking about it, all of our packs are back on, and me, Trevor, start heading that direction. And we had Brock and Jay with us too. So there's four of us. We started heading all the way over there. And we probably left that vantage point, I bet, about 7 in the morning. We get over. I killed the buck, I think, around 2:30 in the afternoon. We bedded him up
Wow.
and got in and took care of business.
Was it a
And
rifle or a bow?
yeah, it was rifle, but
Okay.
we got within probably about I think it was like 250, 300 yards. I was able to kind of shoot across a little canyon we didn't even know was there. Mm. And I, after it was all said and done, I just sat there. Trevor's like, "You ready to go over there?" I was like, "Dude," I was like, "Do you realize what we've done?" I started looking, and we've climbed. We've gained, and we went up and down. It was like 60-something hundred feet in elevation that day.
Jesus.
And I was like, "Dude, you're half the size of me." And I started laughing. I was like, "You got to give me a break." And he's just cracking up. And I was like, "I can't believe you guys hunt in here." And he starts laughing. He's like, "This is the first animal we've ever killed in here." And I was like, "Well, how's it?" I was like, "You dick." And I started laughing, you know. And he's just like, "I knew we'd get you over here and get it killed if we started in here." He's like, "I probably couldn't do that with too many of my clients." And I started laughing. I was like, "Holy crap." So we go over, take pictures, turn on some music, have a good time. We run out of water, have to drink out of a little teeny mossy spring, like no food. Oh, I mean, just it's memories like that. It's those rough memories that at the time you're like, "Man, I would take a bullet to the head right now." I mean, yeah. Quote unquote, right? And I'm not totally saying that in case my mom's listening. You know, I've never thought that. But it's those type of memories that, by the time we got out that night, I think Brock's dad picked us up. We had to go. We went clear out the bottom because for us to go back the way we came, we would have had to sleep under the stars. He picked us up, I think, around like 10:30, 11 o'clock that night.
Wow.
And it just – we did just shy of 10,000 feet elevation up and down. I mean, that's probably 45
that's
up, 45 down. It was just one of those hunts that at the time it's like, dude, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. But now looking back, it's one of those memories that stands out because
right. There
was nothing easy about it. Everything that could have went wrong or pushed the animal even further away or whatnot, further away from any road, he was there. It's those that uphill both ways, you know, that our grandparents used to tell us back in the day. It was exactly one of those hunts. It was uphill both ways, and at the end of the day, we won. And we got a great experience to tell, but at the time, oh, man, I would have just died to stay there. Or, you know what I mean? It was just it was a good time. It's I don't know. There's something about earning them, too, that just makes it that much funner because you get home and people are like, "Oh, that's a good story," but they will never understand how hard you really worked for an animal. And that's kind of the fun part, I think, is in the back of the mind, you're just like, it was actually 10 times worse than what I just said, but I don't want to make you think I'm exaggerating. You just kind of chuckle under your own breath, you know?
Yep. No, that was
just... So I don't know.
Those are my favorite ones, too.
Yeah, they're just, man, it's hard to distinguish what's a good one, what's a bad one, because I look at every one of them as the funnest trip I've ever had until the next one.
That's true. I there's been very, very few that I can say that I look back and say, you know what, I would have rather been home. Thank God on that trip.
You know,
one or two. One or two of my
life. You've nailed it. No, I'm gonna take a second and tell one of those stories where I was like, I wish I would have been at home. So one of my employees, Jason Berry, he's one of my top dudes. He's a great guy. I look at him as a little brother. I was taking him on a backpacking trip. And we're hiking into the remote wilderness area here in Utah that's above tree line, you know, you're 10,000 plus feet, kind of like the Colorado high country. It's the country I grew up hunting. I love it. It's just second nature to me. So we're going in hunting archery. And we go into where we're going, and it's in the middle of nowhere. Well, Jason has a cow/spike elk tag. And I told him before we left, I said, just so you know, if you shoot an elk where we're going, I was like, I'll probably shoot you. And I started laughing, and he's like, uh-huh. Well, we get almost all the way into where we're going, and out steps a spike. And he looks at me, and he's ranging. He's like, dude, 40 yards. I says, don't you dare shoot it. So I start making noise so the elk will run off. Because where we're at, it's just, you can't kill an elk in there unless it's a giant. It's just how it works. Like, it's just the core of ethics there, right? So luckily I spook it off, and he backs down, doesn't shoot. He can see I'm serious in my eyes. And we get to where we're going, and he's just like, man, I'm glad I didn't shoot that elk. That would have been a miserable hike out of here. I was like, he's like, yeah, it would have been miserable for you alone. So started laughing. Well, we set up tent, you know, and we get a little fire going. We're enjoying having a little bit of probably Mountain House or something. And I get ready to go to bed. Well, when I'm sleeping on the ground in the backcountry, I consider myself maybe I'm a little pampered or something. So I pop a sleeping pill. So I just, like, my mind's gone. I'm out, right? Like, I'll wake up before the sun comes up, and that'll be good. So I take a sleeping pill, and boom, I go to sleep. I wake up right about 1:32 in the morning, and I am very irresponsible when it comes to weather. Anybody that knows me knows that I'll show up in the middle of winter without a coat accidentally because I just didn't think. I'm thinking of all the other cool stuff I need to take, and I forget a coat or whatnot. So I didn't check the weather. Neither did Jason. And to our surprise, I wake up and I'm like, dude, is it raining? And he's like, oh, man, I'm glad you're back. And he just is in this almost sobbing state, and I'm just laughing. I was like, dude, what's wrong? He's like, it's been lightning and thundering and raining like crazy. The wind's blowing. I'm scared, dude. And I was like, Jason, I was like, dude, grow up. There's nothing we can do. Like, we're so far in. Like, if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen. There's nothing we can do to prevent it. And I just kind of, my chuckling self, I roll back over. Well, I'm not kidding you, John. Probably within the next 3 minutes, I see the brightest lightning I've ever seen, and I hear a tree just shred in half. You can hear sticks echoing as the lightning hit it.
Oh, shit.
And I'm all, Jason? He's like, yeah. I was like, I'm scared too, man. And I just start, I was like, dude, this is the creepiest thing I've ever had. Well, I've got an Easton Kilo tent, so all my shoes and stuff are in the front portion that's not inside the tent, but it's in the little fly. The rain's coming in on a sideways, so we wait until it's almost daylight, and then we start getting out of a soaked tent, basically, because of how the rain was coming in. All of our boots are soaked. I'm talking like we're pouring water out of them, right? Backpacks are soaked. Everything we own is basically soaked, and so we get out, and I was like, he's like, what do we do? Because we were supposed to finish the trek out. And we were going to spend 3 days in the backcountry, and we were going to end up walking out the bottom and have my dad pick me up. He was planning on picking us up on Monday. This was Friday night, Saturday. And I was like, dude, there's no way we can finish it out now. Our stuff is so wet, there's no way we're ever going to get it dry. And so we pack all of our stuff up. It's now hailing / snow, cold as it gets, fogged in. I think I still might have might be my profile picture on Facebook. So I can't remember. Anyways, we end up going straight out the top, which was probably a good 2,500 feet in elevation, just straight up with wet boots. We all got blisters that time. I mean, that was one of the few times I can look back and say, I wish I would have stayed home.
Yep.
But if I did, I wouldn't have this good story to tell everybody at the time when I tell Jason to man up and then I turn into a wimp 2 seconds later, you know? So it's a double-edged sword, too. Memories are great to be able to tell like that, but it was just one of those experiences where I'm like, well, that was probably one of the dumbest things I've done. But to look back now, it's kind of like cool. I was stupid at a young age, and I'm still stupid now, so I'll probably do it again.
Yeah. Oh, awesome, man. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing the stories with us.
You bet.
Where can our listeners find out more about you and PhoneScope?
So real quick, just for all the listeners so they can get a good laugh, John is basically telling me I gotta go. I told you guys I talked forever. Now he's like, dude, time to leave. Get out of my office. I told you it was coming. No, just kidding. Yeah, by all means, follow me on Instagram. It's Cheston, CHESTON_PS. And if not, you can follow PhoneScope because usually I'll hijack that from Tim and post a lot of cool stuff I'm doing or whatnot so everybody else can feel like they're hanging out with me because that's just kind of like I told everybody that's who I am. So Cheston_PS on Instagram and also obviously PhoneScope. And you got to follow our new page, Scope Vision, because there's some of the coolest stuff that's coming out with our new product, Scope Vision, that everybody's got to be a part of because it's going to be a revolutionary party there. It's going to be fun.
So Cheston and I talked a little bit before the podcast, guys. So he was nice enough to give us a discount for the listeners, for all you guys out there. So it's Stallone18 is the promo code, and that'll save you some bucks.
Yeah, use it up.
When you go,
let's see. Let's really see if John is liked or not. How's that? That'll tell.
That'll
be like
Jesus,
your like factor.
Man.
Then I'll come back on the podcast
no stress.
Next time and
no
I'll
stress
conduct
there.
And you tell stories.
There you go. Sounds good, man. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. I hope
hey,
you
sounds
drew some
good.
Good tags this year.
You know, my wife is due in September, so
oh, wow,
I did the due diligence. Thank you. I did the due diligence of not putting in just buying bonus points, but what
That's
I didn't
smart.
Tell her is I put my dad in for some of the best tags I could, and he drew
mm-hmm.
three out-of-state tags that are phenomenal. So I'm going to be hunting, and it's one of those things, it's like, honey, I can't let my dad go alone. Like, I got to be there with him. So just a hint to everybody listening, that's a good way to run it when your wife tells you, you got to stay home and support me. You say, okay, cool. Then you burn your dad's bonus points. So just a little tip. I'll close with that little Chester 101 tip right there.
There you go. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, John. We'll see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand-in-hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews. Plus, we have the signature T-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food T-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.